Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. I am thrilled to say we are joined by Luke Rosiak, a man whose determination, enterprise, and rigor in covering a most important story that is largely otherwise not getting the sort of attention it deserves is the kind of thing that I hope will ultimately get him a Pulitzer Prize, but at the very least it earns him our great respect. Luke Rosiak is his name. These days he is an investigative reporter at the Daily Caller. His beat includes and is much consumed at the moment with a story that, as I say, I think is of the first order importance, but has largely been neglected by official Washington on both sides of the aisle. That is a scandal associated with 20 or more members of the House Democratic Caucus on Capitol Hill and some of the people they have employed over the past few years to provide IT, information technology services. We are anxious to get an update on this story. There's seemingly always something new, and Luke Rosiak is bringing it to us. Luke, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to brief us on what the latest is.
Thanks, Frank.
We have so many different angles on this story, Luke. Maybe I could just ask you to sort of update us on sort of the cast of characters. Who were the folks providing these IT services, and why is there reason to be concerned about
them? Well, you remember that 5 months ago now, Capitol Police told members of Congress that five of their IT guys were being banned from Congress because they were suspected of taking part in a serious information breach as well as theft. That was Imran Awan, his wife Hina Alvi, his brothers Jamal Awan and Abid Awan. And then recently I revealed that they also had this other guy, Hasib, who basically was the guy who had to do all the work. And it turned out that the rest of them were basically like ghost employees. And this guy Hasib was the one who wasn't even making much money, but he had to come in and do all the IT work for some 20 members of Congress while the other guys got paid.
And got paid handsomely, as I understand it, at that.
Yeah, they got paid, you know, $160,000 each, which is chief of staff level salary. It's not really the salary for an IT guy. It's very unusual. And then they also had this guy, Rau Abbas, who was Imran's best friend and, you know, lived in his house. And supposedly this guy was like working at McDonald's while he was on the payroll for, you know, these members of Congress supposedly doing IT. So
till he got fired, apparently. So when you describe these individuals, not only that the most, if not all of them, hail from Pakistan, and they have been getting immense amounts of money for what seems to be not much evident work in connection with information technology support to members of Congress on a variety of very sensitive committees on Capitol Hill. The question occurs, are these people of good character? And based on your reporting, Luke Rosiak, at the Daily Caller, there's a lot of reason to believe they're not. Give us a little bit of the flavor of that, if you would.
Well, certainly the IT guys, these are the ones who set up the email accounts for members and their staff, and they can absolutely read every single email that was sent and received by the members of Congress that they worked for. You know, that's something that everyone has acknowledged, but people have downplayed, you know, the obvious risk that that poses. So when you've got these guys who have full access to members of Congress's emails being accused of crimes, it's like, they would do certain bad things for money. Would that also include using their emails for bad purposes?
Or simply selling them to people who might be interested in knowing not necessarily classified information, because presumably that's not supposed to be on these servers, but nonetheless information that would be sensitive and perhaps compromising for these members of Congress, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly assume that really any of us, whether politician or not, if you read someone's emails, you're going to find some things that are embarrassing and it could potentially be used for blackmail or, you know, who knows what else. If someone has full access to your emails and then they get in trouble, I mean, it's kind of like the screws are turning on you a little bit. Those people have potential leverage over you.
And Luke, I mean, again, in addition to allegedly having stolen government computers and machinery and having perhaps improper access to information they shouldn't have, these are individuals that your reporting suggests have been engaged in things perhaps involving insurance fraud and extortion and, you know, shakedowns of family members and threats of various kinds that just bespeak, it seems to me, a counterintelligence problem of a rather significant kind. And yet, as I said, that's not seemingly how this case is being treated. Am I missing something?
I think that's right. It's odd enough that, you know, the Capitol Police have said that, you know, this is a security breach situation. These emails, they potentially, you know, did illegal stuff on the House network. It's surprising enough that members of Congress aren't in an uproar about that. In fact, members like Gregory Meeks of New York have said, oh, I don't think they would do anything nefarious, was his word. And he said he hasn't seen a smoking gun. And, you know, a couple other members have, you know, kind of conveyed similar things that these guys are good guys.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, notably, you've reported, has been rather defensive of them at that, hasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, Politico has described Imram as being friends with Gregory Meeks and Wasserman Schultz, which is kind of weird for the IT guy to be friends with members of Congress. And Wasserman Schultz hasn't fired him, even though he's an IT guy who's not allowed to touch computers anymore.
At $160,000 a year, she's still paying him? Can you tell?
They work for multiple members, so each member probably pays them maybe $20,000 each, and they may work for eight members each. So it adds up that way. But, you know, they say, oh, it's just they're probably not that bad people. Maybe they stole some money. Maybe it's just a minor thing. But when you look at these guys and every single aspect of their life has massive red flags. They're being sued in Fairfax County, Virginia right now over alleged insurance fraud, where the allegations are that they threatened to kidnap people in Pakistan if they didn't, you know, if they didn't turn over basically, they wanted their stepmom to sign a power of attorney that would give them money that's stored over in Pakistan. And, you know, their dad died and they basically shook down the dad. They took all of his assets, really, which made their stepmom homeless.
What I can't quite figure out is why the Republican leadership of the House of Representatives is seemingly, if not indifferent to this drama, certainly lowballing it as well. Do you have an explanation for that?
I don't have an explanation, but I think it's true. I mean, Republicans control, you know, the committees. They've just been saying, you know, the Capitol Police are handling this investigation. But my latest story on the dailycaller.com shows that there's very clear evidence that anyone can see, any cops could have found very quickly, as I did, anyone you talk to who deals with these guys. The evidence points to them engaging in tax fraud, extortion, bankruptcy fraud, and insurance fraud, as well as other things. Every single aspect of their lives seems to be motivated by lies, corruption, and the relentless pursuit of money. And these things are basically all outside of the Capitol Police's jurisdiction. But there's also the question of members' actions, which may not, you know, be criminal, but how did these guys wind up on members' payrolls when not all of them were showing up for work? And that's the kind of thing that members are kind of well equipped to investigate among themselves. It's not really something that the police can do or anything. It's more of an administrative internal matter.
Luke Rosiak, thank you for the terrific work you do at the Daily Caller, most especially on this story, but on so many others of interest to us as well. Come back to us again very soon with updates, and let's hope we can get the Congress actually investigating this scandal itself at last.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.